je l'ai reçu, tu l'as reçu. So last week we were discussing a principle that applied to many, many areas of kashrut. The principle called nosen tam lekam, or what's called the nevela shiru l'ger. If you have a food, although it's technically, biologically not kosher, it has reached the point where it's no longer edible, at least edible for a human being, then it's technically not considered to be trait anymore, at least in the Torah. So we saw that this gemara becomes a pivotal sugya in terms of many of the medications out there. Many medications, in fact, don't taste all that good. Then we had a possible exception to that rule is if one of the person goes in and he actually eats the bad tasting food. The Rosh was at the Tzachim tells us that although that's not it's mutter, but the Rabbanim is still prohibited because if you are giving it chashiv, if you are giving it significance, that elevates it to the level of ochel. We had a chiddush last week from some Achronim, possibly Shulchan Aruch describes it the same here as well, that when do we apply that rule that Midir Rabbanim still becomes also, that's only if it's being done derech achila. If it's done derech medicine, but you don't really want to eat food. You would much rather not have the cold, much rather not take the medicine, and maybe Achshavei doesn't apply. So whether or not that's true in the realm of medicine is a big question in the post. But again, on the level of the Araita, there's no question that there is a principle called Einu Ruyel Achila. Once it dips beneath the point of Einu Ruyel and Michael Adam, it's no longer traced in the Torah, and sometimes even in the Rabbanah. The only possible exception that we saw last week was Chamek. For some mystical, mysterious reason, Chamek to share is which we gave different approaches. So last week, but they're putting aside chametz, all other halachas are a function of Einu Ruyel L'Michael Adam. It's in this context that the Gemara in Masechet Tzachim introduces us a second halacha that's a major controversy whether this is actually related to the first halacha or a separate independent halacha. It also becomes very relevant to Lamaisa in many areas of Machalot Asurah. The Gemara introduces us the principle of eating something shaloi kederech achila. If you eat something in an abnormal fashion, now we didn't say that the food tastes bad, it's not small, it's not rotten, but it's being consumed in an abnormal fashion. What would be an example of this? So the Gemara gives us the example, for excellence, is the eichel chelat chai. If a person eats raw fat, the fat, the chelat of the hema, the part that one eats for the side chorez, if one eats it raw, most normal people don't eat food that's raw, although they eat meat that's raw, the person goes in and eats chelat chai, he would not be in violation of this of the Araita. We didn't say yet. But at least the Araita, there would not be a problem. This is not so surprising, this principle, because this is a principle that we're familiar with in other areas of halacha. We know this idea from the Shabbos also, that if you do things shalak kederach, that usually mitigates it to only being in this of the Rabbanon. Other areas of halacha, that principle exists. So yet the Gemara is telling us that it doesn't appear to be such a tremendous chiddush, one doesn't even need a pasuk for it, that anything that's done from kederach achila should not be considered to be machlos asurah. Nevertheless, the Gemara here draws a distinction and says that when do we say that eating something in an abnormal fashion is not a violation of the Torah? That's only true by those foods that the Torah actually prohibits achila. When the Torah uses the phrase achila, don't eat chela, don't eat chaza, don't eat nevelas, don't eat trefas. Whenever the Torah uses the word achila, achila conjures up a certain image of the kederech achila. If it's shalai kederech achila, then it's not included in the yetzer of nitan lachot yeraita. What if you have a particular area of kashrut where the Torah doesn't actually use the word achila? We know that you can't eat it. Pesach Matzah tells us clearly you're not permitted to eat it, but technically, in terms of the text of the Pesach Matzah, that magic word achila is not present. So comes the Gemara and says, then the heter isn't going to apply either, since the whole heter is built on the fact that the Torah uses the lashon achila. Achila means normal eating manners. If the Torah never formulated the use of the lashon achila, so then the result is going to be that even Shalai Kederach will be awesome in that Torah. What is the example that's relevant for us of something where it doesn't use the Lashon Achila? So there are a few of them floating around. But the most important one for us, the Maisa, is Basar B'Challah. Torah never says black and white don't eat Basi B'chalav. The Torah says, no, Sadashim can eat B'chalav, you don't cook Basi B'chalav. And the Torah Shemapet tells us that one of those Isurim is covering, coming to cover the issue of eating Basi B'chalav. So there is no question that eating Basi B'chalav is an absolute issue deraita. No shayla, no suffix, no question about that. And hopefully when we branch out to some of the specifics of Hilchos Kashrus, we'll talk a lot more about what the nature of this issur achilas Basi B'chalav is all about. But there's no question that eating Basi B'chalav is an issue deraita. Again, assuming that it meets all the criteria of Basi B'chalav, the chdisha, whatever those criteria are, hopefully again we'll talk about it in the future. So eating Basi B'chalav is also, but the Torah never used the word achila. Therefore the Gemara concludes that Basi B'chalav is different from other issurim, and that the heter shalom kederech doesn't apply to Basi B'chalav. So if a person eats chaylev shalom kederech, that's okay with the Torah. Eat chazah shalom kederech, eat nezeh in the Torah, but anytime the Torah uses the lashon achila, that's okay with the Torah. But in the realm of Basi B'chalav, even shalom kederech will be a problem. So that's the starting point of tonight's sugya. There's a heter shalom kederech and other machalos asuros, and that heter breaks down in the realm of Basi B'chalav because of the absence of the word achila. There is a major machlokes in Gedolei HaPoskim as to what we're supposed to do with this principle that we just developed concerning dips in Basi B'chalav and other isurim in light of everything we spoke about last week. Last week we spoke about Eino Ro'i L'Achila. This week we're talking about Eino Kederech Achila. Eino Ro'i L'Achila, the examples that we gave, were meat that's spoiled. Eino Kederech Achila is meat that's raw. Now these two halachas are one of the same. So Rav Yerushan Eibishev in his days from Yerodea was working with the assumption that these two halachas are pretty much identical to one another. These are basically two examples of the same basic principle, that you have to do things normal. If you eat rotten food, that's not normal. If you eat raw meat, that's not normal. Anytime you do things not normal, the Torah doesn't address that. The Torah speaks to normal people, doesn't speak to people who do things strange. When the Torah formulates an issue of not eating a trace of food, it only means it's normal, it's cooked, it's not rotten, it's not cooked. Normal derech achila, anything that's not, doesn't meet those criteria, is not ultimate at all. Therefore, the other thing I should say, so if we just connected last week's Shia to this week's Shia, we basically assume that these are one and the same. The heter, the p'tur of Shalot Yederech of this week, of raw food, and Mipsa Mechim of rotten food of last week, really one and the same, becomes the Gemara, and they now connect the dots. And he says, just as the Gemara says that the p'tur of Shalot Yederech doesn't apply to Basu B'chalav, because Basi B'chalav, the Torah never used the Lashon Achila, the last week's year doesn't apply to Basi B'chalav either. But all the dinim of notes in time of God, all the dinim of Eino Ro'i L'Achila, all the dinim of rotten food, don't apply to Basi B'chalav. And therefore, comes to the Yonatan Avshin, the tremendous chiddush. She says, if you have a piece of a chazir, and the piece of chazir gets rotten, the minotaur you're allowed to eat it. It's called Eino Ro'i L'Achila, you're allowed to eat it. But if you have a cheeseburger that got rotten, that you're not allowed to eat. Once it's Basi B'chalav, nothing can ever say Basi B'chalav. Once it becomes Basi B'chalav, all the heterim break down for a very simple reason. The Torah never used the word achila. So Rav Yonatan Eibishev just connected last week's Shia and this week's Shia. All the chumras of this week, namely Basi B'chalav, is different, apply to everything we spoke about last week as well. This Rav Yonatan Eibishev is a first glance mind-boggling statement because it seems to undermine many, many principles that appear in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodei and Hilchos Basi B'chalav. Just as an example, we learned last week, one of the practical applications of Eino Ro'i L'Achila is the entire principle in Halacha called Notin Ta'am of Gab. Remember the case I spoke about last week about that girl who went to Thanksgiving to her grandmother, and told the story about how the kosher turkey was cooked in the tray for pop, and we were mopped to the turkey. Actually, we mopped to the turkey. As the Gemara says at the end of the Mitzvah, that the pot was Eino Ben Yomo, if the pot was Eino Ben Yomo, even if worst case scenario that they cooked chazer in the pot last week, the Dievet still would have not been the food, if any taste that's in the walls of the pot for more than 24 hours doesn't taste good anymore. The notes in Dhamma Gam, the idea of a 24-hour pot, a post-24-hour pot, no longer tracing of food, that is a corollary of the principle of Eino Ro'i L'Achila. According to Rav Yonatan Eibishev said, what should follow is that entire principle shouldn't apply to Basi B'chalav. Because if that principle was predicated on Notin Ta'am of Gam, that was predicated on Eino Ro'i L'Achila, it was predicated on last week's Shia, the Yonatan Eibishev just said that in the realm of Basi B'chalav, all of the Heterim, all of last week's Shia are delete, forget about, because Basi B'chalav is the exception to the rule. So what should follow is that any Heter of Notin Ta'am of Gam shouldn't apply to Basi B'chalav. But that would mean, seemingly, as follows. Somebody comes and they say, calls the rabbi and they say, we made a big mistake. We used our milchik spoon to stir our shoyin. Now what? What's the status of the shoyin? So any rav knows that the first question they ask is, well, what do you mean you used the milchik spoon? When was the last time that spoon was used for milchik? 99.9% of the time the answer is going to be a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. Who knows when it was ever used for hot milchik? So that in and of itself is going to salvage the shoyin. Just the correct answer to that question, that the spoon is no longer what we call a ben yomo. It hasn't been used within the last 24 hours. That in and of itself is going to solve the world's problem. Remember, I was once at somebody's house, and it was Matzah Yom Kippur, and somebody goofed Matzah Yom Kippur, and they used a milchik thing, and they stirred up the inflation or something. So everyone starts to talk about the Shiloh. So the first thing the person asked was, well, was the spoon used in the last 24 hours? So the other person turned around and says, we just finished the Eva about 10 minutes ago. Well, who was cooking in the last 24 hours? So we don't know, everybody knows here, this is your day of 101. Anyone who knows, Sichor, still remembers this, that any time we have an Eina Ben Yom or Shalom there, of course it's Mutter. So how in the world can Yosef Avishas tell us that Eina Ben Yom doesn't apply, the principle of Nosan Tam of Kam doesn't apply to Mosan B'Cholah? It can't be. Shulchan Aruch says 100 times in Mosan B'Cholah. How in the world can that be? So Yosef Avishas himself solves his own problem. Instead comes up with he wasn't the Brisk, he was pre-Brisk, a couple hundred years before Brisk. But it comes up, brisket area. Comes to the end of the action and says, the din of nice in time of God doesn't apply to the Bosom Cholot. What that means is, if you have something which is an Issim Bosom Cholot, it was already chal on it, a chefta from Bosom Cholot, it's already an Issim Bosom Cholot, it's already a cheeseburger, there's nothing you can do to that cheeseburger to be after it. You can't spoil it, you can't stick it into the walls of pasta for 23 hours. Once it's chal on the shame Bosom Cholot, it's also the other voice. And no heterim of no sin time of God, no ruling is ever going to help, because it doesn't say achila, no heterim applies. But the Zilios and Avishas, what if it's not a question of a pre-existing Bas B'cholot, what if it's the creation of the Chepta Bas B'cholot? So you're talking about, do I have a Bas B'cholot in front of me? How do you create Bas B'cholot? You have to have meat, and you have to have milk. Or you have to have Tam of Basar, and you have to have Tam of Cholot. Taste of meat and taste of milk, potentially create Bas B'cholot. But what if one of the Tamim involved happens to be a bad-tasting Tam? The milk has been sitting in the walls of the spoon for 24 hours. The meat has been sitting in the walls of the pot for more than 24 hours. So that type of a Tam can create Bas B'cholot. Why not? Because it's very simple. The Torah says, Lo Savashel Gezi B'cholot Vivo. The Gemara coins the phrase, Derech Vishul Asher Torah. The Torah only creates the Chepta of Bas B'cholot when it's done according to normal protocols of cooking. Imagine the following ingredient. I'm not such a big cookbook expert, but imagine the following ingredient. Put in an ounce of meat and put in an ounce of milk. And please make sure that the meat is spoiled. Please make sure that the milk is spoiled. People don't cook with spoiled food. They tell us that they cook with spoiled food. So comes the Rebbe Avishas and says, to create basar the cholov, it's not enough to have tam basar. It's got to be a tam. A good time of basar. It's got to be a nice tasting basar, a good tasting cholov. So anytime you have a time of gam, it's been sitting in the walls of the pot of the spoon for more than 24 hours, it automatically cannot create basar cholov, which is exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's exactly what every rav knows. That's the question they ask. I stuck a milchik spoon into a pot of cholov and I stirred. I want to know, did I just create basar cholov? Did I just create a problem or not? For the creation of the chepta of basar cholov, of course, there has to be a good taste. Once the Chesed of Bas B'Cholot has already been created, then it remains the Surah of the Yodim Vod. This is the historic Gadol for the Rebbe Yosef Avishas. So basically, he has a few Chiddushim in Aftadya, but the basic thrust is the Chiddush is that last week's Sugya and this week's Sugya are one and the same. That the rules that govern Bas B'Cholot are different than the rules that govern Shari Surim, and in Bas B'Cholot there's no Heter. There's no Heter of Neshin Tam of Gam, there's no Heter of Shiloh Kedem, everything falls to the wayside. Because the magic word achila doesn't appear. In the back of your idea, like Aleph, the halachas of Bas B'cholot, so the very famous perish, is the perish of the Chavadas. The Chavadas was written by the Baal HaNetziva. Netziva was very famous for his perish of the Chesh Mishpat, the Netziva HaMishpat, and he also wrote the Chavadas in your idea. So in his fake Chavadas, the Baal HaNetziva disagrees entirely with this Rebbe Yosef. Comes the Chavadas, and again, also lived a little bit before Reb Chaim's time, but also in folks' terminology, it's very familiar to us in the post-Reb Chaim world. The Kavzichev is asked about the Stevens and says that he thinks that the Yiddish and Irish fundamental bridge between the two sugyas of last week and today is not correct. Says the Chavisdas, these are two totally different sugyas. The last week's sugya, when you have food that's rotten, you have nevela that's spoiled, have any food that's no longer tasting good, the halacha is that chefza is no longer a chefza of treifas. The Torah is maskia, the issa from the chefza, once it's ain't a royal achila. Being royal achila is part of the shear, it's part of the measurement, the way to measure whether you have a dover osir in front of you. Once you have a piece of food that's no longer royal achila, it's oitzchazer, it's oitzchazer, it's oitzchazer, the shame of the chefza is muf. That is the chavadat, that has nothing to do with the night shear. The night shear we're talking about, oichel chela chai, you're eating raw chela. You're going to tell me that raw chela is not a chefza for chela? What kind of joke is that? He says, if you're thrown into a pot, in 10 minutes from now it's going to taste delicious, and in 10 minutes from now it's going to be normal, and you're going to be chai kurish for eating it. How can you tell me a story that eating things shalom kederech is a hafka in the chefza? There's no such thing. What is it, says the chavadat? When you do things shalom kederech, that's the poor in the gavra. If you as a person can't be held responsible for what you're doing, we can't say that you as a person are eating trace, because eating things in an abnormal fashion is not called a night achila. But from the gavra's vantage point, the night tour is, the gavra is not involving himself in an act of achila, because he's eating in a bizarre manner. When you see a person eating raw food, you say, not that the raw food is not food. The raw food is food. The chaylev is food. It's going to be cooked up in 10 minutes. How do you say it's not food anymore? You say it's lost its shame, traces. From the chesed's vantage point, from the object's vantage point, is as traitor as it was before, that the gavra is puffed because he's not involving himself in the ma'is achila. It comes to chavadas and says, now everything makes perfect sense. Last week's shiur is not this week's shiur. That's why we separated them by a week. It comes to, we should have separated them by 3 weeks. We could have had it from 2 weeks from now. We're going to really going to understand it. Comes to chavadas and says, in tonight's shiur, when the focus is on the gavra, did the gavra do a ma'is achila? Here the Gemara differentiates between Bas Mechov and everything else. By other Isurim, when the Torah formulates the Isur as a Gavra Ha'oichel, then the Gavra didn't eat, it wasn't the Ma'at Achila. So the male is possible. But Bas Mechov, when the Torah never uses the phrase Achila, Tate is going to be Chayef, even Shalaki Derech Achila. But the nature of the Isur of Bas Mechov doesn't revolve around the magic word Achila, and therefore even Shalaki Derech Achila is going to be possible. It is going to be Chayef. But in last week's shiur, when you're talking about, is this a chefza of food? Is this a chefza of treifas? Is it a chefza of the veilus of treifas? So the answer is no. Once it dips beneath the point of eino royally achila, then it's done. Then it's history. If eino royally achila, that halacha last week applies equally to bas mechalav as it does to everything else. We have a major machlokes between the Ibishis and the Chavisdas, how to understand the relationship, a lack thereof, between the tour of last week of Eidah Royal Achila and the tour of this week of Shalom Kedesh Achila. It's fundamentally the same, and therefore Bas Mechalov is exempted from both. According to the Chavisdas, they're fundamentally different. Bas Mechalov applies to one, doesn't apply to the other. This idea that the Chavisdas is developing for us, that whenever you're looking at a tour in Hilchos Kashrus, you have to really, really analyze it from Lumdish point of view. Are we dealing with the Ptur mitzad Gavra, or are we dealing with the Ptur mitzad Chefza? This idea is expressed by the Shagas Aryeh in discussing another area of eating, which is not quite Hilchos Kashrus, but we already saw last week touched on Hilchos Kashrus as well, and that's the realm of eating on Yom Kippur. But when it comes to the issue of eating, of not eating on Yom Kippur, the Shagas Aryeh has a tremendous chiddush. Shagas Aryeh says, what would the din be if a person ate in an abnormal fashion on Yom Kippur? Would he be chayev or would he be potter? So the Shagas Aryeh says, well, let's plug in the rule to the Gemara. The Gemara says that in Kol Torah Kula, Shalom Kederech is Potter, with the exception of Bas Mechalov. Why? My Mishtana Bas Mechalov, Mother Yisurim, but it doesn't say Achila. Says the Shagas Aryeh, guess what? It doesn't say Achila by Yom Kippur either. It says on Yom Kippur, Kichol HaNefesh Shalom Se'uneh. The Torah uses the phrase to afflict yourself. So again, there's no question. We know exactly what that means. The Torah Shavapeh, Ish Mepish, and Meshach Rabbeinu tells us that afflicting yourself doesn't mean to go on the snow in Yom Kippur, doesn't mean not to sleep all night. It means that you have to fast in Yom Kippur. So nobody ever questioned that. But Tachlis, the third, doesn't say the magic word Achila. It comes to Shagas Aryeh and says, whenever the Torah of Stav doesn't use the word Achila, that's there to teach me that even Shalom Kederech is going to be Chayav. But based on this, the Shaddai Sayyid says, the person would eat raw food on Yom Kippur, you'd be chayav. Eating raw food on Yom Kippur is actually like a derech b'ach b'cholav, and there's no force like a derech in Yom Kippur. Now comes the Shaddai Sayyid and asks by himself, if it's true that there's no ptur of shalok yedarech on Yom Kippur, how could the Mishnah say if you eat rotten food in Yom Kippur? You're supposed to. The Mishnah says a favorish. If you eat spoiled food, if you drink vinegar, things that no normal person would drink, so the Mishnah says a favorish that you're supposed to. Stam this is your Aisha. We spoke about this last week. We said last week that it's mutter mikra din, where we thought the Sakhla Shulchan Aruch was, the person to take medication on Yom Kippur. Even the Chela She'ein Bari Sakona is mutter to take the medication on Yom Kippur. He's eating food, that's bad tasting food, and that should be also with the Rabbanon. So we said, nah, it's only the Rabbanon. And the Yisrael was only instituted when you're doing it for food purposes, and you're doing it for medicinal purposes, they never instituted it. So we were matal l'chatchila. The person to take Tylenol on Yom Kippur last week, we said that other kind of medications, even though there's no risk to any life, there's no danger, we said that we can't fast in Yom Kippur, set the government, we still had according to Pesach HaShulchan Aruch. Here's the Shaddai Sayyid himself, why isn't it also in the Torah? If the heter of Shalom Kederach doesn't apply to Yom Kippur, why should it be also in the Torah? Then the Shaddai Sayyid, the answer is obvious, that when do we say that certain Peturim don't apply to Yom Kippur, don't apply to Bas B'cholav? Those are the Peturim Yitzhak Gavra. Gavra Peturim don't apply to Yom Kippur. But Chepta Peturim is Tachlis. This is not considered to be a Chepta Fanochel. This is not what the Torah said you're not allowed to do. So come to Shaddai Sayyid and says, even I agree, as oichel mitzad a chepta, then a royal achila, that is perfectly permissible, at least in the Torah and Yom Kippur, and sometimes even midirabon. So here you have once again another example of whenever you're dealing with a question of eating, and you want to know is it kosher, is it trace, is it mutter, is it asur, you have to constantly ask yourself the moment there's a question: are we asking the question from the vantage point is the gavra doing a mitzad achila? Are we asking the question from the vantage point is the chepta, something that's subject to the halachas of kashas, halachas of isri, achila, and the Torah? So, Kofanim, the one din that for sure is true, we start off the suyu tonight, the din in the Gemara Pesach is for sure true, that if a person eats the raw food, the raw meat, on of chelev, so that cannot be inisid deraisa. There's no way that could possibly be inisid deraisa. So that goes to like Kedera. Whether that spills over to the Boschachal, the Yom Kippur, that subject is debate. But there is no question that eating raw meat, eating raw trace of meat, or raw chelev, that would not be an issue deraisa. It's based on this Gemara and of Tzachim that there is a difficulty in a Mishnah that appears at the end of Masechet Menachem. The Mishnah deals with the phenomena that we don't have with Manazech for multiple reasons, but it was a real shayah that would come up every couple of years on Yom Kippur. We know that in Yom Kippur there are many, many korbanos that were brought. Most of the special korbanos that were brought in Yom Kippur were actually not eaten by anybody. The Purim and the seed of the Purim, the sword that were brought, the dam was brought inside the Kedusha Kedoshim. Those are what we call, we refer to them as the davening in the morning. As coming, the Purim HaNisrafim, the seed HaNisrafim, they were burnt. Nobody ate, nobody ever partake of any of the meat of the Purim HaNisrafim and the seed HaNisrafim of Yom Kippur. Many of the korbanos that were brought in Yom Kippur were olos, or the special korban musaf and other things, the ola. So they were brought as korban olos. They were totally brought in the staff. Obviously, nobody ever ate them. Were there any special kavanas of Yom Kippur that were actually supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim? The answer is yes. There was a Sora HaChitzom. There's a Sora HaChatzos that was brought in Yom Kippur, the same as brought in any other Yom Kippur, brought in the Shodesh, etc. That Sora was a regular Korban Chatzos that was offered on the outside of the Mizbeach, and it was eaten by the Kohanim, like any other kosher. So the din is, when you have a regular Yom Kippur, let's say falls on a Tuesday, you bring the Korban in the daytime, and then the Chatzos is eaten in the Yom Belayla. You eat it that day and that night. Obviously, you can't eat it that day at Yom Kippur, so the Kohanim make their Masoyim Yom Kippur and Basko Suda, they make their Mu'amach, whatever you want to call it, on the Star L'Sar L'Chakas, the Star L'Sar Bachu. That's what a regular Yom Kippur. Comes the Mishnah and says, what if Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday? Our immediate reaction would be, don't remember that. All our years don't remember that. The answer is, you're right. If you remember that, then you don't remember correctly. If that calendar is set up in such a way, the Yom Kippur can never fall out on a Friday. One of the reasons the Gemara says that Chazal set that up in such a way is because you don't want to have 2 days in a row where you can't have levayas. Because that would be an injunctive test. You can't have a levayas sometimes. You can't get in shopping again. That's going to be a big balagan. So Chazal set the calendar in such a way that it can't happen. But that's only when we're dealing with a set calendar. When we're dealing with Adam coming and testifying on when the new moon is, then it's a freebie. It's anyone's guess. So if the Eidim come and it comes out that Yom Kippur is on a Friday, so the Yom Kippur is on a Friday. So the day that they should make that every once in a while, Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday. When Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday, then we have a big problem. What in the world to do with the Sar? Why? Because you're going to bring the Sar on Friday morning, part of the offering of the Kabbalah. You're obviously not going to need it in Yom Kippur. It comes Friday night, you're going to sit down, you make Kiddush, think Shabbat Aleichem. Sometimes you're admitting it, the Yom Kippur going to Shabbat, I guess there's two different Hagim. You sit down, you make a Motzi, and you break your fast, and the first thing you want to eat is the Sar HaChatos. The problem is, it's raw. How can you cook it? You're not going to cook on Yom Kippur, you're not going to cook on Shabbat. You're a checkmate. How in the world are you going to eat this? So the Mishnah says, you're right. It has to be in, but it's raw. So the Mishnah says there were some people who had really, really tough stomachs. We're not talking about the people from Bubbelt. They were able to handle it. I mean, they weren't worried about any kind of disease, I guess, special conditions, so they ate the raw meat. The Mishnah says the regular Yerushalmi Kohanim couldn't handle this, but I guess pretty tough meat, goat's meat, and that's pretty tough to eat raw. You know, the Mishnah says that the Bavlim used to do it, and they were able to swallow it down raw, no big deal. So come the Haredim and say, wait a second, what did they accomplish by eating this meat raw? The whole purpose of eating the meat is to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas kachim. Those are the yomim, so actually tomorrow's not. The achilas rosh kubah b'hem is a mitzvah derayis for the kohanim at least to eat the korbanos. So obviously, the goal of these kohanim who are roughing it is to fulfill this mitzvah of achilas mitzvah kachim. They ask the achrayim, how do they fulfill this mitzvah? To be eating the boah, so that's called shalak kederach achila. The Gemara Sachem says that shalak kederach achila doesn't count. It's not called an achila. It's not called chaz. It's not called the derech traces. So then maybe we should say that Shalak HaDerech HaChila wouldn't be a fulfillment of this mitzvah either. So how do we solve this problem? How do we respond to this objection? What are we trying to do when giving the Kohanim a stomachache by eating the raw chatas? What do you gain anyway? If it's raw meat, it's not considered to be achila. So some Achranim say the answer to this question is that this din, the Shalak HaDerech, does not constitute achila. That's only true by Avdeiras, and it's not true in the realm of mitzvah. Why would one think that that's true? Why would one make such a distinction? The Sanachronim dug up a Gemara in the end of Masechet Pesachim. The Gemara talks about a person sits down to the Seder, he takes a big piece of masa, and he gulps it down at one shot, doesn't even bother chewing it. Is Yaitse the Mitzvah or not Yaitse the Mitzvah? The Gemara says, Kol HaMasa Yaitse. If a person gulps down a piece of masa without chewing it, he's technically Yaitse the Mitzvah. This is in contrast to Mara. Mara, the Gemara says, if you just gulp down the Mara without chewing it, then you're not yet, because we eat it a more of a lake time. But more you have to taste. That's so important. Taste. But more you really have to taste. But more is chayyim. It's not going to be a zechem for the marira if you don't taste the more. This was the source for the famous Tzach of the Chazanish. The Yerushalmi says that he asked the question, how can you be yotzei more with lettuce? You know, the Mishnah lists off the different meaning that are acceptable for more. But what are the meaning that it says in the Mishnah? So we know that it means lettuce. How do we know that? Rashi tells us, Rashi uses the old French word, litugo, which is the Latin word for lettuce. So we have a mystery of thousands of years, and that's what Chazal was referring to lettuce, the main lettuce, other lettuce, whatever kind of lettuce we're talking about. So Shami asks the question, how can you be yotzei more with lettuce? It's not bitter. Is it supposed to be bitter? And the Shami says, if you leave it in the ground long enough, it'll turn bitter. But the Chazanish said, what the Shami meant is, that hochma v'mayaskinan, you left it in the ground long enough. Meaning if you take it out of the ground beforehand, how can you be yotzei? But even time more of a lettuce? The same way the Gemara says that if you swallow the maror without chewing it, you're not yoytze, because even though you ate maror, but you didn't taste maror, but says the Chazanish, if you eat maror from this till tomorrow, but if you don't taste maror, so you're not yoytze. So the Chazanish says all the lettuce that we have is no good. Because all the lettuce we buy bags, we spend hundreds of dollars on our greenhouse, pre-washed, everything, a whole day, a lettuce. Says the Chazanish, it's all good, it's good for salad, but it's no good for maror. The only way you can be yoytze with maror is you got to take lettuce and let it really stick it in the ground, leave it there for long enough, and sure it gets horribly bitter, and then you can only, then you can have it as a Seder. So the Minigod is not like the Chazanish. Most of the other folks didn't accept the Chazanish. They thought that when the Gemara says, we didn't have more of a lake, it means it has to taste like the species of Mara. If you happen to walk out and your species of Mara tastes a little bit sweeter because you didn't bother leaving it into the ground, that's okay. There's no shear about how much manure it has to be. You have to eat something that tastes like Mara. Doesn't mean it has to be bitter like maror, it has to taste like the maror tastes right now. But once you say that lettuce is called the species of maror, then you can't say when you only yotze at this stage of the maror, not the other stage of the maror. Once it's called maror, that's what we all assume. Most, I think everybody here assumes that way. People who eat regular romaine lettuce are assuming that it doesn't have to mamish be bitter. But when it comes to masa, for sure the din is that you can just swallow, you know, potato in the yard to the mitzvah. So the Chachamim asked, isn't that a bizarre way of eating? Isn't that a crazy way of eating? How can you be yaitzeh the mitzvah? So some of the Chachamim say, you see from here that you can be yaitzeh the mitzvah even shalom kederach. Averus have to be kederach. The mitzvah is to get the best of both worlds. So the Beis Halevi disagrees. The Beis Halevi is Yoshe Beis Halevi, that robbed the great prophet of Chaim's father. So the Beis Halevi writes also, I think we have three brisket terrors in one in the one day. He's at least in town for three brisket terrors, even though...
What?
Yeah, he was even before Chaim. He was at least in this. So comes the Beis Halevi, and not even so comes the Beis Halevi and says that, no, he thinks that this Gemara, this Mishnah in Maseches Menachos about the Kohanim eating the raw meat is a different story that got made. Based on the following history, there is a Gemara that says that when they used to divide up the lechem upon them, when they used to make it every Shabbos, they would take the bread off the table, then the Kohanim would each try to get a little piece of the lechem upon them. So the Mishnah said that each Kohen would get a very, very small piece, the size of a bean, just a tiny piece of the lechem upon him. The threat to make the Akasha, how can you give each Kohen a bean that nobody gets the Achila? Don't we know that Stam Achila because I, going back to the first year of the year, the definition of achila and kol tarkul for mitzvahs of eretz was his kizayin. So what do you gain by giving everybody a share of the lechem upon him? Then nobody gets the mitzvah. It says in the Beis, what do you see from that? You see that the nature of eating kachim, eating lechem upon him, eating kachim, is not a mitzvah which is mutelat on the kavod. It's not that you have to eat the kachim. This is about as brisk as you can get. The mitzvah of eating kachim doesn't mean you have to eat kachim. The mitzvah is that the kachim has to be eaten. Unlike the mitzvah matzah. The matzah is you have to eat matzah. It's not a mitzvah that the matzah should get eaten. You as a person have to partake of matzah. Kachim is, the Torah says, it's what a carbon. Don't leave the carbon sitting around. Make sure the carbon is eaten. This coin is going to eat a little bit of that. Every coin partakes a little bit of the carbon. The nail of the entire carbon gets eaten up. I know coin ate it because I, so what? What's the difference? The carbon was eaten. That's all that matters. The Beis says that they say, Levi, when do we say that there's a halacha that something has to be kederach achila? Kederach achila means when the Torah is speaking to the person, to the kavra, like the Chavzah said. When the Torah is speaking to the person, so the Torah is saying, you as a person either are not allowed to eat that food or you as a person have to eat that food. But then the halacha is, it has to be kederach achila. Maybe swallowing matzah without chewing is considered to be kederach achila. Maybe it is. Whenever the Torah speaks to the Gavra and says, you must do an act of Achila to be Yotzei Mitzvah, or you as a Gavra cannot do an act of Achila because that constitutes an Aveira, so the act of Achila has certain connotations to it. It has a Shia of Kizayas, that's Allah Moshim Sinai, it has to be Kizayas. Achila, as Imam Sachem explains to us, whenever we're speaking of the Gavra HaEichel, it has to be a certain amount, it's got to be a certain manner, etc. When the goal is to get the food to be eaten, what has to happen is, we're goal-oriented. I don't really care whether Mr. Cohen or Mr. Katz eat the kachim. What I care is that in an hour from now, there's no kachim sitting around the table. That's the goal. So since the mitzvah, the chet has to be consumed, what do I care whether he ate? Yes, more than kizayis, less than kizayis. What do I care whether he ate it in the normal way, the abnormal way? I don't care what he did. Tachlis, if I eat something, if I eat raw food, the food was eaten. So one the Shavuot. I didn't eat it, but the food was eaten. Again, you can't get more this than that. It says that they say, Levi, that's Sugi Masechus Menachos. There's a Gemara not shy after this discussion. The fact that the Gemara in the Mishnah says that the Kohanim eat the raw meat, so we as the Kasha, how can you eat raw meat in the Mitzvah? It's not called Derech Achila. Says the Beis Halevi, you're right, it's not called Derech Achila. And it doesn't matter, because there is no Mitzvah to eat Kasha, and the Mitzvah is that the Kasha has to be eaten. The Kohanim, the starting point, still remains from our Sugi, namely that in order to constitute an act of Machol Tassur Sederaita, it has to be Kedar Achila. Whether that applies to Bach Machol or not, the Gemara says no. Whether that spills over to last week's Shia, that was a Machol Tassur. There is an Ibishit and the Chabazat. Try to understand the relation, the lack thereof between the two Sugis. Then we have the continuation as how this whole topic carries over to the realm of Mitzvah. We seem to have Mishnah, Masechus Menachos, that talks about eating things in an abnormal fashion. What conclusion could we draw from this? Should we draw the conclusion that mitzvot and averus are fundamentally different from one another? Or should we draw the brisk conclusion that the Levi, not that mitzvot versus averus, but rather gavra versus tafsir? The achilas and gavra governed by certain halachas, the kizayis, the shirim, the achil, etc. When the mitzvah or the averus is one of the mitzvah, the whole different ballgame. Then there's no shiur b'kedayis. You can split up small pieces. Then it doesn't matter whether it's being raw, cooked. Nothing makes any makes much of a difference. The whole sugya starts from this problem of the kashrus. The things that are done shalok and echachila are considered to be radically different. How much this carries over? Are there possible exceptions to this rule? How this plays out in terms of Bach B'cholim and Yom Kippur and the Kuzma and Chasnasa? That's something everything we've been talking about. Now, the basic halacha of the kashrus still stands that if something is eaten in a manner that shalok and echachila, at least on the level of the Araita, that would not be a violation of the kashrus.
Next week, the issue and the following book. And